Hello, welcome to another Marvel podcast. I'm your host, Drew Gratch. I know I said this one would be coming out the day of release, and it's coming out the day of release. I'm your host, Drew Gratch, and today, everyone, we are talking all about Ms. Marvel, Season 1, Episode 3, Destined. This episode was released on Disney Plus on June 22nd, 2022, and has a runtime of 47 minutes. The episode was directed by Mira Menon and was written by Freddie Seiborn, A.C. Bradley, and Matthew Chauncey. With the Department of Damage Control on her tail, Kamala tries to lay low ahead of her brother's upcoming wedding. When she meets a group of people who have information on mysteries that have plagued her family for generations, Kamala begins to learn more about the source of her powers. These friendly strangers need Kamala's help, but whatever decision she makes could have grave consequences. So that is the episode that we are talking about today on another Marvel podcast, third episode of Ms. Marvel. We're going to be going into full spoilers for the first three episodes of Ms. Marvel, and I'm not sure if you guys also saw when you booted up your Disney Plus this morning to watch Ms. Marvel, but there is a new movie out on Disney Plus, and it's called Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. That's right. I know it came out just in theaters last month, but given that it's now been 45 days since May 6th when the film released in theaters, it is now streaming on Disney Plus, which means that we are now officially in our spoiler-free. Like, it's out on Disney Plus, so there is now no reason for you to not have seen the film. So we are at the point now where I'm going to be talking about the movie on the podcast without giving a spoiler warning. So, I don't think we are going to be going into Multiverse of Madness spoilers today. And the same thing with Thor next month. When, like, the podcast is going to be mainly spoiler-free for Thor without a warning. Like, if we have to talk about Thor things, we're going to give a warning. And then it's going to, you know, we're going to talk about Thor. But, and that's going to be the case. If it follows this release schedule, it should come out to Disney Plus sometime in, like, August or so. Sometime in late August. But we'll see. We also have the Disney Plus list for next month of what's coming out in July to the streamer. And it includes the following. On Friday, July 1st, that's next Friday, we're getting Marvel Studios Assembled, the making of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. We're getting the making of documentary. Can't wait for it. Wednesday, July 6th is Ms. Marvel Season 1, Episode number 5. And then also on July 13th, that's Wednesday, of course, we're getting four new episodes of Spidey and His Amazing Friends. That's coming to service. I've not seen that show. I have no intention of ever watching that show. But it's Marvel. It's coming to Disney Plus. Gotta mention it. And but then, of course, on July 13th, the big thing is the season finale. That's right. It's episode 6 of Ms. Marvel. So that's what's coming to Disney Plus next month. There is no Marvel Studios Legends, like, recap shorts. There's none of that next month for Thor 4, like I thought there would be. So, yeah, we'll see. So now we're going to get into the episode. This is going to be a bit of a short episode. It wasn't a ton that happened this week. Well, there was, but I feel like it's easy to touch on. So we start off with a really great flashback to the partition. We see this group that we know as the Djinn. Later on in the episode, we see them. It seems like this is sort of where they're starting out and things. This is... I really love, like, just starting out with that, starting off with that flashback. It's implied that they have something to do with the Kree because, you know, we saw that blue arm with the bangle on it. And who infamously has blue skin in the Marvel multiverse? The Kree. So, and that is, of course, I think a reference to Ms. Marvel in the comics being an Inhuman. It looks like that's not the case. It's not the direction that they're going in the MCU. Again, I think that's because of the Inhumans series from a few years ago and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Again, my theory with my what I'm saying about things regarding Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as much as I love that show, is kind of a gray area because it's not Marvel Studios canon, but I don't think that Marvel's ever going to, like, go out and contradict what happened in that series. You know? Like the Darkhold we saw in Multiverse of Madness, you know? We learn in that movie that it's a copy. There are several Darkholds, so that sort of, like, gets rid of that thing. There are multiple Darkholds, the one we saw in S.H.I.E.L.D. being one of them. But the audio description called it a human arm. It was called a human arm, so take note of that. They mentioned that Aisha's from a different dimension. So could this be a call-out to the multiverse, then? That's my big question. Is this a multiversal connection? You know, I feel like it is. You know, it seems like... I mean, again, we talked about this. There are two different multiverses within the MCU. You know, you have the parallel timelines, stuff like that has to do with variants. You know, the alternate versions of Peter Parker we saw in No Way Home, Captain Carter, Mr. Fantastic, the Patrick Stewart we saw in Doctor Strange 2. But then we also have this more like other dimensional thing, like the Dark Dimension and those worlds that Strange is traveling through during his acid trip in the first Doctor Strange movie. So, and I feel like this dimension that the Djinn are from could be more akin to what we saw from Talo in Shang-Chi. I'm feeling it. They're gonna be similar. They're gonna be similar where, you know, I feel like there are different, I guess, multiversal access points in every universe. I don't know. This is my guess. It's my theory there. The Bangles sent a message to the Djinn, again, like the Ten Rings. I think that there is something here. There is some sort of connection between what's happening in Ms. Marvel and what we saw in Shang-Chi last year. I really believe there's going to be some sort of connection because they're very similar. They're very similar. You know, they're both, like, originating in China. They're both types of, like, bracelets. Because you have the bangle that goes on the wrist. You have the Ten Rings that are more like bracelets in Shang-Chi. They both, like, have some sort of believed to be cosmic power. You know, so, yeah. And then I wonder if the Eternals are going to get involved there. Stark drones. This was something that I didn't talk about in the last episode, but I should have. And that's the whole idea with the drones that the Department of Damage Control is using, are those the Stark drones that we saw them, like, investigating at the beginning of Spider-Man No Way Home? Are those the Stark drones? Oh, and by the way, when Disney Plus updated their MCU timeline order today, with the Multiverse of Madness, it wasn't placed after Moon Knight like I thought it would be. It was actually placed prior to the events of Hawkeye and Moon Knight and Ms. Marvel. So it looks like No Way Home and Multiverse of Madness are literally set back to back. It looks like that's when they take place in relation to each other. It's like this week Strange is helping out Spider-Man, the next he's traveling through the multiverse, you know? I feel like that's what it is. All right. So... All right, yeah. One thing I didn't like, well, I shouldn't say I didn't like, but what I thought was interesting. Obviously, I didn't like this, but it's not like a fault of the episode, I guess, because it's more of like a commentary. It was when the Department of Damage Control arrived, and that one, racist officer there, the agent we saw last week, she was like, we know of an enhanced individual who's operating out of this mosque, like implying that Kamala has something to do with the mosque is conspiring with Kamala, which is obviously not the case. But I thought that the use of the word operating was interesting. Nakia calls herself a board member, which I thought was fun. And of course, she then was officially elected a board member, but she was calling herself a board member right before she was elected. They were like, we still have to finish counting a few votes. And she's like, well, basically, I polled well. But that was funny. Bruno is going to go read a paper by Selvig. Love that. Love the callbacks to the Thor movies. Just love the inner continuity of the MCU. I think it's great. Kamala is trending on TikTok, as we see TikTok being used again in the MCU. Fun. I love the line by Maniba, Kamala's mother, who says, the damage this girl is causing, her mother should be ashamed of herself. Here's the thing that you don't know, is that you're the mother. You don't understand that, but I think you will. Another thing that we saw at the party was that Sheikh Abdullah was, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Sheikh. It's how they pronounced it on the audio description. So, it's implied that he knows that Kamala is, I guess, technically Nightlight, you know? That's implied there. And I hope we get a relationship between them akin to what we saw between Matt Murdock and Father Lantum in the Daredevil series, now streaming on Disney Plus. Because that relationship was really, really special, and it helped build the character of Matt Murdock and the world of Daredevil in a really beautiful way. And that's what I would like to see from Ms. Marvel. I'd really love to see that in the series. I'm not sure how they're going to have time to do that because we're halfway done with the show. That's right. This show is now halfway over. Because 6 episodes. And then Sheikh Abdullah has the great line, straight from the comics. Good is not a thing you are, Kamala. It's a thing you do. Like, and she references it later on in the episode, where she and Bruno are talking, and they're debating whether or not Kamala should help the djinn get home. And what she says is like, I need to do some good. You know, like, what would Carol Danvers do? And I'll talk about that later. But I thought that was a really beautiful line, and really thought that was delivered well. I'm not sure who the actor was, but I thought that he did a great job in this episode. I also thought that he did a great job in the last episode. When there are, like, figures of authority having to do with a religion in the MCU, I need to clarify, in the MCU, whether it's Father Lantum or Sheikh Abdullah, they're such great characters. They're so well acted. I love it. Kamala gets her mask, her comics accurate mask. I can't wait to see, like, the full her full super suit. Probably gonna be in the finale. Can't wait to see it. What's the father's name? Yusuf. I love the part where Yusuf and Bruno, and by the way, I think it's great that that Kamran, like, whenever he sees Bruno, he calls him Brian. I love that it's the white guy who's, like, getting his name wrong, spoken by a white guy. But yeah, thought that was funny. The what was I saying? Oh yeah, when Bruno and Yusuf are talking in the circle queue, their like little the corner store. I love that whole thing with the djinn and like Yusuf reading the Urdu to Bruno. You know, I thought that whole scene was great, and I love that, like, the legends of the djinn, like, were correctly, like, depicted. Because usually we see legends and, like, there's some truth to them. Like, you have that saying, like, there's always a bit of truth to legends, you know? So I thought that was interesting how that was technically accurate, but djinns aren't real. Famous last words, I guess. And Kamala actually mentions earlier in the episode the djinns are like ghosts, but they're scarier because they're real. So I like that. Love the line from Kamala, you know when you bump into a drone, fall off a truck, and don't really feel it until later. Great line. Great delivery from Iman Vellani. I think that Iman is doing an incredible job bringing Kamala Khan to life. She is one of my favorite castings in the entire MCU. She is one of my favorites. I think that she's absolutely phenomenal in this role. I love the scene where Muniba tells Kamala how much her religion means to her. And I also really love that Muniba and Kamala are having this really beautiful, deep conversation. And at the same time, Yusuf and Amir are having the same conversation. And it was just a great parallel. And I really, really loved that. I also really love the relationship that we see between Kamala and Muniba. Because it's very similar to the one that I see between my sister and my mother, and then between my mom and my grandma. They're very similar, where there are these tiny spats. You're right, you're always going to have those, but there is a lot of love there, just, you know, and it's not always there. Like, I mean, it's always there for the mom, but, like, you know, how to speak to someone who's never been a child before and wouldn't understand this. If only everyone was once a child. yeah. So I also really love just the way that this show is stylized continues to be one of my favorite parts about it. Like, the stylistic choices remind me so much of things like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which you guys know, my favorite comic book movie of all time, and The Suicide Squad, which was one of my favorite movies from last year. Very similar to both of those in terms of just stylistically, you know. Couldn't be more different from The Suicide Squad otherwise, but stylistically they're very, very similar. And I really love the line that Yusuf says to Amir toward the end of their conversation, and the man who chooses family is never alone. He's never alone. I think that's going to be some pretty cool foreshadowing for the rest of the series moving forward in its last half, these final three episodes. I thought that the Muslim wedding that we saw, I thought that was beautiful. I thought it was beautiful. I know next to nothing about Muslim weddings or any wedding other than a Catholic one, just because I've been to so many Catholic weddings. And I've unfortunately never been to a Muslim wedding, but but they look beautiful. If this is accurate whatsoever, I have to do this. You know, I haven't really had time, like, go in depth and research everything about this show yet, but I really want to, like I did for Moon Knight. Najma was tracking Kamran's phone. He's 17 years old. Chill out. Is Najma actually Kamran's mother? Because then we could have, like, there's a father, is the father someone in the group of jinns? Is it jinns plural, or is it still just jinn regardless? I think it's just jinn regardless. It's like Jedi, but I'm not sure. I'm just gonna Google it. Just give it a quick Goog right here. Plural of jinn. Looks like it's also, it looks like it's just jinn, or, yeah, jinn. Okay. So then the mother, there's a father, then I'm feeling we may meet the father toward the end of this show. Like, I'm feeling that may happen. Like, if who Kamran's father is matters whatsoever. Like, maybe he holds, like, the final key to, like, defeating. Or maybe he has the other bangle. No, I don't know if that would work, but it's possible. Loved the wedding reception. We already know how much Muniba loves Kingo from Eternals. How great would it have been if they recreated, like, the Bollywood sequence from that movie where Kingo's like dancing and then like Icarus and Cersei and what was the kid's name? Sprite. And Sprite, when they all like walk in, I think that would have been really funny if had they done that. So we already know the parents love Bon Jovi music. I think it's absolutely hilarious that the cover band that they hire is Brown Jovi. I thought that was amazing. I laughed out loud at that moment. Thought it was great. I think that, okay, here's another thing. Another thing about these six episode shows. We should have gotten between 1 and 3 full episodes of Kamala, like, working with the djinn. We should have gotten a couple episodes of that. Because we should not, like, because we meet them in this episode, and they're revealed to be the main villain of the series in this episode also. Like, that should not have been the same episode. It should either be, like, this was in, like, we meet them in this episode, and we find out they're villains in the next episode. Or even, like, 2 episodes apart, you know, that's what I think should have happened. It that felt rushed already, and I'm really hoping this show doesn't fall into the trap that the other shows have, you know, and I've forgiven the other shows, but, yeah, I just don't want the shows to be rushed. I don't want them to be rushed. I love that this episode's, like, final fight is set to Live In on a Prayer, but that was really funny, really well done. Kamala can again suddenly control her powers perfectly after like 2 days, you know. Again, just more episodes, you'd have had that time to really flesh it out. They get away and Nakia finds out, so I wonder if there's gonna be some drama there, because earlier on in the episode it seemed like Nakia really was, I'm trying to think of the word, but she was blaming, Kamala, without knowing it was Kamala, of course, for, the DODC being there, for damage control being there. So, I hope that storyline goes somewhere, but I don't know how it will, because it looks like Kamala's heading to Karachi next week. Because it seems like Nani, the grandmother, had the same vision that Kamala did of the train, and she's going to Karachi. No post-credits in this episode. I know this one was short. So now it's time to... We have a little bit of feedback here from the boss, as always. Love the boss. So the boss says... All right. Another really good episode. The pacing is just right. We're only 3 episodes in, yet it seems so much of the story has been told. Hardly any filler. Long episode lengths have been okay. Cannot wait for the final 3 episodes. Dude, I'm right there with you. Like, these have been fantastic. Loving this show so far. I think that, you know, 3 episodes in, in terms of, like, I think this is my favorite first half of a Disney Plus series we've gotten. You know, it's close to, like, Loki, it's close to Moon Knight, but I think so far, it's safe to say that this is my favorite first half of a Disney Plus season we've gotten. Also, the boss said, I know I'm late to the party, but hashtag Multiverse of Madness is an absolute delight and a visual marvel. Yeah, a couple of what moments, but overall, I really enjoyed it. Don't get the negative vibes. Yeah, I really did like the Multiverse of Madness. I didn't, like, love the movie, but I really, really enjoyed it. I cannot wait to watch it again on Disney Plus now that it's here. Like, cannot wait. So, yeah, guys, that's really gonna do it for this episode of, Another Marvel Podcast. Know that it was short, but I had, like, a really tight window to do it. I think I was able to get it down, like, a good length. You know, I feel like half hour is pretty good. So, yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening to the show this week. Send in your feedback, anothermarvelpodcast@gmail.com, or send us your message on Twitter at anothermarvelp1. Also, please leave a 5-star review. Those are awesome. It's always really nice to see a new one pop up. And with Thor coming out, a lot of people are going to be looking for a new Marvel podcast. So we really want to, you know, just keep that going. So thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Drew Gretsch. See you next time. Laters, gators.